to another Tanisha.com podcast. This week I'm going to talk about how we got out of lockdown. I think the last time I did a podcast we were out of lockdown anyway, but I've since been home, so it's another layer of freedom. I think also in the last podcast I said that it was going to be the second last podcast of the year. I lied. This will be the second last podcast of the year. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into it. Did lockdown change us for the better? So first and foremost, I want to acknowledge that the day that you're listening to this, the day that I'm posting it, will be Remembrance Day. And I know it's probably not 11 a.m. exactly, and it might not even be the same day that I posted it that you're hearing this, but regardless, it's important to put some time aside, either on that day or I suppose as you're listening to it now, to remember those who sacrificed so much and gave away so much to allow us our freedoms. We often take our privilege for granted, but we owe our safety, our welfare, our education, culture, wealth, families and lifestyles to those who gave up theirs in the wars. I'm not going to do a minute of silence, only because that would be a really weird break to take in the middle of a podcast, but if you want to pause it and have a minute silence, I commend you. But speaking of freedom, lockdown is over. Well, mostly. We can't go overseas or state to state willy-nilly, but we don't have to sit in our rooms, and that is something. I've had the pleasure of being able to get out and about here and there. I've sat at a beach guilt-free without exercising. I've had a COVID-safe picnic with friends and gone out of town. I got to celebrate Halloween and sit in restaurants to eat. I even got to travel back home to Dubbo last week and see my family and friends after what feels like a lifetime. But all this rediscovered freedom has got me thinking. It doesn't feel like everything's back to normal. I think we all know that normal is long gone. Ordinary things like going out in public without masks will still feel chaotic and dangerous, and I'm sure they will for a long time to come. There hasn't been a lot of freely accessible research done on the topic, mainly because we're essentially still in the thick of it, but it's clear to me that semi-permanent effects of the pandemic are far-reaching and in some cases surprising. So in this article, I want to explore those seemingly random effects that I've observed. Yeah, I don't know whether you're just listening to the podcast or listening along while you read, but I'm taking a different approach to format this time. Usually it's either a list post or, you know, a fully blown sort of essay style thing. This time I've got subheadings, so get amongst it. But the first one is post-lockdown anxiety is weird and layered. There was a certain kind of anxiety that we all experienced during the lockdown. The monotony of scrolling through your Netflix recommendations, trying to drown out the numbers of the news cycle. The hyperfixation of remembering your mask, remembering to check in, remembering to sanitize, but forgetting what day of the week it is. We were in lockdown just long enough to get used to it all. Now we don't need to necessarily be so cautious. We're vaccinated, we're allowed out, we still have our booster shots to go, but we have most of our freedoms back. There's obviously some level of caution that needs to be taken, but it's not all encompassing. We're feeling a strange mix of hesitancy and urgency. We want to get out. We're aware that sitting in a restaurant with our friends is a luxury, and we want to seize the day, but on the other hand, I'm not sure I want to buy a concert ticket and run the risk of yet another postponing. If you had social anxiety before lockdown, it's likely been exacerbated during the lockdown. You're a lot more likely to be meeting up in person a lot more now, and it might be the first time you've hung out with people in months. It's understandable if you find yourself forgetting small talk etiquette. If you have sweaty palms and heart palpitations and a racing mind while you're sitting at the pub with your pals, fret not, you're definitely not the only one. Personally, having the time alone over the last few months definitely helped me learn how to cope with my mental health. Since getting out, I actually feel more confident talking to people, but it all still feels really strange. You might feel like a fish out of water, but that's not it exactly. You're a fish who got plucked from your private little fishbowl and thrown into the aquarium. I went home last week, as I mentioned before, and something about it, sort of going back to a familiar place after having been somewhere else for 4 months, you get this like hyper awareness of the fact that you're essentially so different from the last time that you were at home, which is a really, really weird experience, but I'm sure other people have experienced similar things. Secondly, gone are the days of the introvert-extrovert binary. It's been argued that lockdown is more difficult for extroverts. No hate to extroverts, but I disagree because no one really is an extrovert or an introvert. We all have extroverted and introverted tendencies and behaviours. It's just a buzzword that got thrown into society and they ran with it. We utilise our different traits in the applicable scenarios. No one is okay with being alone all the time, and no one is okay with having people around 24/7. It just depends whether or not your lifestyle fits those habits and your personality fits those habits. But we all have them. We all get a certain kind of energy from being alone and a kind of energy from being around people, and we need both. However, I think that our collective experience of lockdown as an extreme experiment of introversion has leveled many of us out. The people who identified heavily as introverts now recognize the appeal of socializing, and the extroverts have learned to cope with being alone. A life confined between four walls has ironically taught us not to put ourselves in boxes. Thirdly, we myth-busted work-life balance. Before lockdown, we had a particular way of life, and we rarely stepped off the laid path for us. Our eating, sleeping, working, and leisure time followed the same repetitive patterns at the same timestamps, and the failure to meet that standard meant that something was wrong. You were depressed or sick or something of the sort. We couldn't go to work or school during the lockdown, so we made video conferencing work. We made our own schedule, and most people were better off for it. We didn't have a set wake-up time, a set bedtime. You can eat whenever you like, and a lot of people, I think, took that time to really connect with what their body needs from them. And we now know that achieving a healthy and fulfilling work-life balance is possible, and we want to hold on to it. While many people thrive on routine, we've had our eyes open to the possibility of creating our own routine. There's a massive surge of people quitting their jobs in search of more supportive workplaces and lifestyles. This flexibility might extend to other parts of our lives. For example, people might be more likely to meet up on Zoom instead of going out. And I think on this topic, there's a lot of ways that lockdown and COVID, the pandemic in general, has really brought to the forefront the failings of capitalism. I think it's really pushed along this late stage capitalism that we're in terms of like pointing out that our society and the systems that we thought it had to run by aren't supportive of our well-being. They don't make us happy, they don't make us healthy, and there's a real issue with that. Fourthly? It's a weird word. Fourthly, the removal of stigmas around technology. Obviously, when we've been stuck in our rooms, we've had to turn to technology to keep in touch or be entertained. In a lot of ways, it was our saving grace. We used our phone so much in that time that we're probably sick of them now. I appreciate real life experiences more and might be less fascinated with the TikTok feed, or at least less likely to waste precious hours scrolling through it. Before, it was all TV turns your eyes square, don't trust everything you see on the internet this, and you're always on that damn phone, video games cause domestic violence that. Now, we're more likely to praise the incredible abilities and affordances of tech to connect us with others. More of us better understand that it's possible to develop and maintain meaningful relationships online. In 40 years, you might tell your grandkids how you met their grandpa on Tinder back in the pandemic, and that won't seem weird. I think on the topic of entertainment media, a lot of us have also unfortunately stepped into this need for constant stimulation. I know for me, it's really at the point, you know, towards the end of the semester where I need to have several sources of stimuli in order to get through what I'm doing. Because truly, like, any sort of loneliness, any sort of quiet can be either crippling or really peaceful and rewarding, depending on, you know, quantity, but everything in moderation. But parting words. I think at the end of the day, no matter how many silver linings I point at, there's always that massive storm cloud looming ahead. We can't go back to normal, and I think we're better off just embracing the change anyway. I think there are a lot more positives than negatives of this whole situation. And as much as it sucks, we still have to exercise some caution. But I'm glad it's hopefully over. If you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious or just intensely weird, don't worry about it too much. It will pass, you will readjust, and eventually you'll feel normal again. The good thing is you're definitely not alone. But that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Like, share, subscribe, comment, do whatever you need to do on whatever device, whatever platform you're listening on. I will be back in 2 weeks, obviously. Again, thank you for listening. Goodbye.